3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
The S&P 500 climbs out of bear market territory in a late-day rally. Plus, why a shortage of baby formula could last months.
There's just some very wild stories, and some of those are really heartbreaking, too. People driving for hours, people having to buy formula from resellers for, like, triple the cost online. There's just a lot.
And tassels are a hassle. Why fewer grads may be wearing caps and gowns this year. It's Friday, May 20th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. After a volatile day and a turbulent week, the major indexes ended the session close to where they started. The S&P 500 closed up a fraction of a percent, paring back earlier losses. The index had dipped into bear territory in earlier trading for the first time since the pandemic-driven sell-off in 2020. The Dow also ended the day nearly flat, and the Nasdaq was down 0.3%. Our markets reporter Karen Langley says investors are nervous the U.S. economy could fall into a recession.
Lately, we're seeing some more signs in the market that investors are making bets on that possibility. For example, some of the groups of stocks that are considered defensive, which means that they tend to hold up better in a weak economy, you know, compared to other stocks, those defensive stocks have been doing better than the overall market lately. I'm thinking about utilities, for example, and healthcare stocks. In another example, a futures market in which traders can bet on how much S&P 500 companies will pay in dividends next year shows that these traders expect dividends to actually decline, which is something that in recent years has only happened during a recession. And then in one more example, investors have been buying U.S. treasuries, which is considered like a really safe investment and driving up their prices. And that, again, is something that's often done when folks are worried about economic growth.
The dollar has been surging and the euro has been sliding. And that's putting the two currencies near equal value for the first time in nearly two decades. The euro has dropped by 7% this year and was trading as low as $1.03 earlier this month. Our London markets reporter Caitlin McCabe has more on what's driving the euro's dip.
The euro's been falling in part because of this gloomy outlook that people have for the European economy right now. And that's in part due to higher energy prices and supply disruptions due to the war in Ukraine. And then at the same time, we're seeing this pretty stark difference in the way that central banks are responding to inflation. So the Fed has begun to already hike interest rates pretty aggressively and has indicated that it will continue to do so, while the ECB has lagged behind the Fed in that way. And so, you know, expectations of the Fed's interest rate increases has really benefited the dollar. And that's because higher interest rates typically support the dollar by making U.S. assets more attractive to investors.
The last time the euro and the dollar were one-to-one was in late 2002, the year much of the EU started using the euro as hard currency. Former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder is leaving the board of Russian oil giant Rosneft, and several other senior foreign executives are stepping down from the company as well, according to people familiar with the departures. That leaves a prime driver of Russia's economy without an experienced team to navigate the crisis in Russian oil markets. People familiar with the matter say the timing of their departures may be related to EU sanctions that came into effect earlier this month. Spokespeople for Schroeder didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is casting yesterday's bipartisan approval of a $40 billion aid package to Ukraine as a personal victory over the GOP's isolationist wing. 86 senators, including McConnell, approved the bill. 11 Republicans made up the no votes. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, McConnell said it's an indication that he's making headway with party members who think America can, quote, exist alone in the world. The pro-Trump wing of the party has opposed spending on the Ukraine war, saying there are more pressing issues at home. And top officials who oversee the IRS say they're still trying to find out how confidential information about the nation's wealthiest taxpayers, including Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, became public last year. The news organization ProPublica disclosed information of many prominent ultra-wealthy Americans, including income, payments, and tax strategies. So far, officials say, there have been no arrests related to the leak, and it's still unclear whether the IRS has uncovered any security gaps. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and others say they want more information on the investigations, but that they haven't received any. The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration has not confirmed that an investigation is underway. The Justice Department has declined to comment. Coming up, the national shortage in baby formula is so bad, the Department of Defense will be flying some in from Switzerland. We'll talk about why it's been so hard to ramp up production after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
For weeks, parents around the U.S. have been on the hunt for baby formula. Shelves stand empty, and lower-income families say they're paying astronomical prices for formula they were supposed to get for free. The shortage has become so dire that President Biden has invoked the Defense Production Act to increase supply. And now the Department of Defense says it's working on flying in some formula from Europe. How did we get here? The Wall Street Journal food reporter Annie Gasparo joins me to talk about it. Hi, Annie. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You've been reporting on the lengths people will go to for formula right now. What have you found?
There's just some very wild stories, and some of those are really heartbreaking, too. People driving for hours, people having to buy formula from resellers for like triple the cost online. There's just a lot. Some families are trying to make formula at home. None of these are good solutions. I spoke to one mom who has just been trying to find this brand that her child likes. Her child doesn't have any special needs, but really prefers a certain brand and sometimes gets a little stomach upset and throws up when she has a different brand. So no parent wants that. So she's been driving all around trying to find it. And she asked her parents to help. They asked their friends. And now she says she'll get random phone calls from people she doesn't know that are her parents' friends. And they'll say, I heard you're looking for this baby formula. I found some. Do you want it? So it's really become this like community effort.
How did we get to this national shortage?
There are some lingering supply chain issues from the pandemic, and we've been dealing with those this year. And then in February, there was a massive recall at the factory that makes about 20% of the nation's baby formula. And that plant paused production, which just further exacerbated the shortage. And it's starting to reopen again, but we just are so far behind. And while we're also facing these shortages in production, there's been an increase in demand.
One of the things I read about was that the U.S. birth rate dipped during the pandemic. How is that a factor?
The companies that make baby formula are, you know, only going to make as much as they expect they will need. So when birth rates are low, and for years now, sales volume of baby formula has been declining or flat, and until recently where we've started to see more demand. But when sales are declining or flat, companies aren't going to invest to increase their production. So when there's a big sudden demand shock on the system, then you have an industry that can't keep up. They can't ramp up production to meet the higher demand. Plants shut down and supply chain problems on top of that, and you just get this crisis that we're in right now.
this crisis is hitting families who rely on government subsidies, and I'm thinking about the WIC program particularly hard. What is the WIC program, and why is it facing such difficulties?
WIC is a program for low-income women, infants, and children, and it supports about half of the infants in the country. So you can imagine it is a huge portion of our formula sales. If you have a baby and you're on WIC, you can only get the formula that is allowed in your state based on your state's contract with a formula provider. And Similac, which is owned by Abbott, that is the company that had the massive shutdown, and that is who had contracts in 34 of the states. So in 34 states, people who receive WIC to get formula at no cost were only allowed to buy Similac brand.
Annie, what steps can the government take to solve this issue?
So far, the administration and the USDA are working to make WIC more flexible so that people can use these vouchers to get other formula brands if the contracted brand is not available. And that has had a big impact. And lawmakers are also trying to extend that by giving the USDA more authority to do that going forward, to give those flexibilities. They also are going to require in contracts that manufacturers have with state WIC programs that the manufacturers outline a backup plan if they incur a supply disruption, because that's something that we did not have in this situation when Similac was the contractor with 34 states and didn't have a backup plan when they had to recall a whole bunch of their product.
How's the Department of Defense getting involved?
The Department of Defense is helping to import formula from other countries and make that easier and faster. The first shipment the Biden administration announced yesterday will be Nestle, who is requesting to import some really specialized medical formula for babies with special needs. And that'll be coming from Switzerland to Indiana.
And this is rare that America would import baby formula, right? Most of it is made here for American consumers?
Pretty much all of it is made domestically. There are really high tariffs to import it. And the FDA also has very tough regulations. So a lot of foreign companies don't even try to get into the U.S. market.
How long do experts think it will take for formula to become available again?
Well, even some of these actions will just take a while to make an impact. Like importing this formula, when it gets to Indiana, it's still going to have to be inspected by the FDA still. So it won't be able to just go straight on shelves or straight to families who need it. And the same with this Abbott Similac plant ramping up production again, that will still take 6 to 8 weeks before we see that product on shelves.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Annie Gasparo. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, picture college graduation. Rows of students in their caps and gowns waiting to flip their tassels to show they finished their classes and toss those caps into the air. Well, not this year. Supply chain hiccups are causing shipping delays of caps and gowns and mind-boggling mistakes in the orders. Our careers reporter, Lindsay Ellis, says students are getting creative.
Rice University had a bunch of commencement ceremonies earlier this month. And the night before, Herf Jones, which is their retailer for regalia, chartered a jet to arrive in Houston just hours before the first ceremony got kicked off. And so in sort of the hubbub racing up to the different ceremonies, students were trying to do different things. One student, she was lining up to process, but the only robe that was available was sort of the black classic undergraduate one, and she was getting her master's. A staff member swapped it out at the last minute. Another student who I talked to, there was a big scramble for hoods, which are these, they sort of look like silk scarves that are draped over a graduate's neck. And at the last minute, she still didn't have one. And so an administrator scrounged one up from another university in Texas, Sam Houston State. So the hood she was wearing was a totally different color. It was orange, but it did the job.
And that's What's News for this week. I'm Daniela Cheslow. Our regular hosts are Anne-Marie Fertoli and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Trine Nuri and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali, Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Kosmidis, and Chris Zinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning.